Blog Talk Radio.
This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We are so happy to come to you now live on Blog Talk Radio. Amen, amen. We are coming in the name of the Lord. We are coming in the strength of the Lord, and we are coming with a word from the Lord. Amen. We thank all of you all who have called in to listen. Amen. And we just thank God that you have taken time out of your busy schedule, out of your busy day, to join us on Blog Talk Radio. And we're just so excited about unveiling the kingdom, because this is a mandate that the Lord has given us to come before the people of God with a right now word, with a right now word of healing, with a right now word of deliverance, with a right now word of a king. We are coming in the authority of Jesus Christ. We are coming bringing you that word of authority, that anointing, that glory. We are going from glory to glory. From glory to glory. And we would just like to thank everyone that has called in on today, and you're excited about what God is doing. You know that you're ready for a new thing. You're ready to go higher in the Lord, and we are ready to usher the people of God into the presence of God as God leads us. As God leads us, we are ready. We are ready. Hallelujah. And we thank God for everyone that's on today. Amen. We just want to thank for this awesome door that's open. We would like to thank Elder QT Docs, Prophetess Teresa Docs of Kingdom Builders International in Southfield, Michigan. Kingdom Builders International, that's our parent company for this Blog Talk Radio edition that we're on right now. And we thank God for this open door. We thank God for the man and the woman of God. And we would like to encourage you, if you are in the Southfield, Michigan area, to please look up Kingdom Builders International, a powerful ministry. If you are in the Detroit area or any of those surrounding areas, you need to make your way to Kingdom Builders International, where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Amen. Amen. We will be coming to you tonight talking about the sons of God. We are here to activate the men and the women of God, the ones that are hidden, the hidden ones. Amen. Are you one of the hidden ones that has so much potential locked up in you, and you know that you are about to burst? You know you are about to burst with the authority and the power of God. The glory of God is locked up in your belly. Somebody's next level is locked up in your belly. Well, you have logged on to the correct website. You have logged on to Blog Talk at the right time for such a time as this, because this is the time that God is going to move in your life, and we are so excited about what God is going to do. Amen. And we're going to have Apostle Ron Anderson, and he is coming with us with a mighty word of deliverance on tonight. And right now I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, oh God. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for your loving kindness. We thank you, oh God, for your tender mercies. We thank you, oh God, for this time of rejoicing, for this time of sharing. We are sharing the word of God. We are coming, oh God, with the word of strength, with the word of power that you have placed in our bellies for the people of God. Lord, give them a mind to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Oh God, have your way, oh God, in this hour. And God, every person that's on this call, every person that's listening to this radio broadcast, you would bless them, that you would strengthen them, that you would keep them, that you would anoint them, oh God, that you would strengthen them and take them to their next dimension, that you would take them, oh God, from glory to glory. We ask, oh God, that you would have your way and pour out your Spirit and pour out your anointing and pour our wisdom. Give us wisdom, oh God. We're asking for wisdom. Our cups are up before you, oh God. Pour into us, oh God. Fill us with your wisdom. Fill us with your knowledge. Fill us with your understanding. Give us to realize our purpose, oh God. Give us to realize our destiny, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, oh God. Lord, we don't take it lightly, oh God. It's not an everyday thing, oh God. But every day we want to be before you, oh God. It's not an ordinary thing, oh God. But we want to be before you every day, oh God. We're pressing in, oh God, to the supernatural kingdom. We're pressing in to a supernatural understanding of your supernatural kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, stir us to our next level. Stir us, oh God. Let the fire of the anointing stir us like never before, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, God. In Jesus' name, we honor you and we thank you, oh God. We just praise you. We just thank you. We just honor you. We just adore you. Lord, have your way even on this broadcast, oh God, that you would give a person a word. You would give your people a word of wisdom, a word of understanding, oh God, in the name of Jesus, a word that will propel us into our destiny. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And God, we ask that you will bless every family represented on this line. We ask that you will bless your people like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus, do a new thing. Do a new thing, God, in Jesus' mighty name. We give you honor, glory, and praise, and we thank you, God, and we call it done, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Amen, amen. People of God, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Today was a very cloudy day, a very dark day. The clouds were just in abundance. Amen. There was, and people everywhere in the nation are looking forward to an, they're looking to an abundance of rain. Amen. They're looking at a natural rain, but you get to see this thing in the spirit. The clouds are full. The clouds are full. There is an open heaven. People of God, there's an open heaven, and God is releasing the miracle that you have been waiting on. If you can only believe, if you can only begin to pull that miracle out of the spirit realm, pull that miracle, pull what you want, begin to speak it, begin to speak it, begin to decree it, begin to declare it, and pull that thing, pull on that thing. Oh, my God, the heavens are open. The heavens are open, people of God. I used to look at the clouds and say, oh, it's a dark day, it's a cloudy day, it's a gloomy day. But no, in this season, when I see the clouds, I know that God is about to move by his spirit. The Bible in Zechariah says, pray for rain in the time of rain. Pray that the clouds will turn dark and fill with water. Pray for rain in the time of rain. Amen. Receive your rain. Receive your new anointing. Receive that breakthrough. Receive that miracle that you have been waiting on from the Lord. Amen. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. At this time, we're going to turn it over into the hands of Apostle Ron.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord.
I can't hear you, man.
Can you hear us? Praise God. Praise God. Can you hear me now?
No.
I can hear you. Praise God. Praise God.
I can't hear you. Yes, I hear you now.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good, 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 good. Praise God, praise God. Technical difficulties, but it's okay. We're here in the strength of God, and it's just good to be in the position to be able to share God's truth, to be able to share God's word. I'm telling you, God is moving in this day and in this time, and as you heard Apostle Gwen just begin to pray, understand that she's praying specifically and prophetically, on behalf of all those people that are listening. And if you are hearing those words that are being prayed over you and concerning you, receive it now. Receive it now, because God honors our words when we are determining things for his people. He honors our words when we're speaking from the Holy Spirit. He honors our words and he recognizes them, and he will respond to those things that are identified by his will. He will respond to those things. The scripture tells us that whatever we ask according to his will, he will hear us. And if he hears us, he will do that which we ask him to do. And I know that it is in God's will to bless you. It's within God's will to prosper you. It is within God's will to to cause you to succeed in all things. So we're thankful and we're grateful for what God is doing. We're thanking God for the opportunity of Blog Talk to be able to give us this platform to be able to share the gospel of the kingdom. And that is what we are doing. That is why we are here. That is why we were born. That is what we have come to do in this land, in this time, in this season of our lives, to proclaim the kingdom of God. It is necessary. It is not enough people that are proclaiming the kingdom of God. People are doing a lot of things and saying a lot of things, but in so many situations and scenarios where the body of Christ is concerned, people have gotten off the mark, per se. They've gotten off the mark, and they are speaking about a lot of different things, but the Lord has required us to proclaim the kingdom of God and all those things that are pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about doing that. I am blessed. We are blessed to have been chosen for this purpose and for this for this season and this time, because the world is getting their message out there. The world is getting the message out there. They're proclaiming their agendas, and they're declaring their agendas. And as a matter of fact, when you this particular time that we're in is an election season, and during this election period, you have all these different candidates that are out there saying all sorts of things and making all sorts of promises and speaking about all of their intentions and those things that they would really like to do for those people that vote for them. And they're saying what they believe people really want to hear. And regardless of how crazy it is, they're saying whatever they think people really want to hear. And then there are some that really mean to do well, and there are some that could care less. They just want to get into that particular office. And but what has been left off and what has been forgotten, and that is that God is the one that is to be proclaimed and to declared in the eyes and minds of the people by whoever will be elected from the people or by the people. And you might say, well, that's politics and that's religion, and that there is a problem. The problem is that people have separated what they believe to be a Christ-centered message from what they believe to be world or people-centered message. And when you take a people-centered message and make that the platform that you will rule and reign or have positions of authority over, it's important to understand what's in the mind of those people that you are now representing. What's in the mind? What is the mindset of those individuals that you believe that you are representing and you are running on, and that is you're running on the strength of whatever it is that's in their minds? And the problem with that is the world is showing you what's on their mind. You can see what's on their mind when you listen to music that they produce. You can see what's on their mind when you see television programs that they produce. You can see what's on their mind when you see what's going on in our news and in all of the television media, or if you read newspapers or listen to the radios, you can hear and see what's on people's minds, and this is the state of the world today. And when they say, oh, you need to separate that from religion, the problem with religion is they are not even representing the agenda of the kingdom of God. They're representing the agenda of that particular religious order that they are representing, depending on whatever denomination it may be or whatever religious aspect or representation they may be trying to reflect. And the problem with that is when you make religion the focus, everyone has their right to choose what their particular religion may be. And that's a problem, because there is one God, one faith, and one baptism. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the only true representation when it comes to God, because he created us in his image. He didn't create us in the image of religion. He created us in his image, the image of the Creator. We are in the image of God and in his likeness. That's who we are. And when Jesus came to this earth, to the world, he came to share with us that message, the message of the kingdom of God, the message of who God is and who we are to God and how God wants us to come back to him. That message is missing in its full dynamic. That message is missing in its full determination because people are looking at religion differently from the righteousness of God. They're looking at the religion of God, and religion has no power. Religion has no power. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that is effective and present to do the eternal work of God in this world. It's not religion. And I'm not saying that in an aspect to destroy the credibility of people that are really doing their best to live for God. It is time for everyone to be made aware of what God is trying to do in the earth and the message that Jesus preached in the earth. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, he told us, he said, in Matthew 24, I believe it is, in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and, well, anyway, it says, until the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world, until that gospel, till the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world, the end shall not be. And the end is coming, people of God. The end is coming, and we are at the end of the age of time. And, that's Matthew 24 and 14. Matthew 24 and 14, I'm going to read that very quickly for you because we do have a limited amount of time. Matthew 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." And then there's a caption in parenthesis here that Jesus told them, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." This is very, very significant in what he was stating here concerning the kingdom of God and concerning the abomination of desolation and concerning what is going on in our end time that identifies how close he is to his return in solidifying everything unto himself. It is very important that we understand that, people of God, and how important the kingdom of God really is. And the reason why we're saying it in this way, because there's a consensus out there everywhere in so many different places that the kingdom of God is just a cliche. It's just something that people say. It's just something that people say, and it's a new catchword or catchphrase, the kingdom of God. And they're so sadly mistaken because the word kingdom itself out of Jesus' own lips is the word basileia. The word basileia, that is what he was saying. So when Jesus said that at the end time, when he said that this gospel of the kingdom, until this gospel of the kingdom is preached in every nation, letting us know that that's the focal point of our message. That's the focal point of our gospel. The focal point of our gospel is the kingdom of God. And until that particular message is preached, the word basileia, kingdom means basileia. In the English language, it's kingdom. In the Greek language that they were hearing when Jesus was speaking it is basileia. And that actually means royal power, kingship, dominion, rule, the government of God, the royal power of God, the dignity of God, his royalty, his realm. Now, if you say it in the way that they were hearing it, if you say where Jesus said it right then, and this gospel, oh, I'm gonna say it again. I wanna read it exactly how you're seeing it here. "And this gospel of the royal power of God." I'm taking the English word kingdom out and putting the word that Jesus was actually saying to them, basileia. "And this gospel of the royal power of God, this gospel of the royal kingship of God, this gospel of the royal dominion of God, this gospel of the royal authority and rule and government of God, this gospel of the royal power and the triumphant work of Jesus Christ, this gospel of the royalty and realm of God, until this good news about the royalty, realm, the authority, and the government of God is preached, until this is preached to every nation, then, or when this is preached to every nation, then the end will come. So that means we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do because he wants everybody in the entire world to hear this particular message about the good news of his royal power, royal government, royal kingdom. This is important, people of God, and we understand that because it is true concerning our own lives, because we are witnesses of that truth. In the 15th verse, he says that when ye shall therefore see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Right there, he was saying something specific about the position of the abomination of desolation, how it is positioned in the world today, how it is positioned not just in the world today, because here when he says, whoso readeth, that word readeth actually means whoso can distinguish it, can recognize it, can clearly understand it or acknowledge it. He said, whoso readeth, let him understand. That understand, it means it's the word noea. It means to perceive with the whole mind, to perceive with the full understanding of the mind, including what you perceive, what you feel, and what you understand. Now, what he's saying about this is he's telling us this is not just from a surface presentation. He's saying to all of us that when you see this particular passage, he's not talking about the surface presentation of it, but he's talking about the deepest implication of it and the most deepest and the deepest intention and interpretation of this particular statement that he's saying regarding the kingdom of God and its last time or its last day appearance and the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation, which Daniel spoke about, was more than just a physical representation. It is actually a spiritual representation that is taking place in our realm that identifies the spirit of the Antichrist first. That spirit of the Antichrist, it takes over the minds and hearts of the people. And the mind, believe it or not, in the deepest application, the mind is the holy place. It tells us in Micah that that's the place where he wants to establish his authority, where he wants to place his authority there. He said, I want to put my throne in your mind, and I want to put my feet in your heart. In other words, I want to put my position of authority and my position of territorial dominion in your heart, so that the things that you think about, they will be guided by my thoughts, and the things that you feel and desire, they will be guided toward what it is that I want to establish in the earth. That's what God is really saying here, that the gospel of the kingdom will identify what is necessary for us to understand, and we'll be able to recognize that the spirit of Antichrist is in the world, and with that spirit of Antichrist in the world, it will cause a delusion to be established in the minds of people where they will not recognize the kingdom of God. And in that misrepresentation, when you do not recognize that God is calling for all of his people, not just this guy over here, that guy over there, that group over there, that group over there, every believer has been called and chosen to preach the gospel, the good news of his government, the good news of his authority, the good news of his royal realm and royal power in our lives. That is the work that is necessary and the words that is necessary for us to determine and to declare. When that is done, and until that is done, people will be missing out on what the truth is, because that can only be revealed through the truth or the spirit of truth that has come into our lives. Identifying the kingdom of God, making it clear and making it known to everyone, not just these individuals over here, but everyone has that responsibility. And when we do that, we will recognize the spirit of the Antichrist and what's going on, why people are doing what they're doing, why they're saying what they're saying, why they're acting the way they're acting, in a way that they've never done before, in a way that you've never seen them before, in a way that you've never recognized before. You can see then that there is a spirit of Antichrist. The word Antichrist is against Christ, meaning the anointing or the anointed ones. So the Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist, is a spirit that causes people to be adversarial or against the anointing and the anointed ones. That's what the spirit of Antichrist does, and this is what the abomination of desolation does when it sets itself up in the position of people's minds. And when it sets itself up in a position of people's minds, it will stand in that place and it will curse God. It will stand in that place and it will be totally against God. It will stand in that place and it will deny the existence of God, the reality of God, the government of God. That's what will happen when the spirit of Antichrist is influencing the minds of people in this world and in this time. And that's so powerful to understand, and we have to be so protective of it. And this is why we are preaching this particular message concerning the kingdom of God. In Luke, the 13th chapter, it says right there in Luke, the 13th chapter, and I believe it is the 18th verse, Luke 13 and 8. I'm going to read that for you really quickly. Luke 13 and the 18th verse. In the 18th verse, it says, "Then said he," this is Jesus, this is what Jesus was saying, and I'm going to say it as quickly as I can. "Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it?" Now, Jesus was bringing out the importance of the kingdom of God. He was bringing out and identifying how important the kingdom of God is and how necessary it is to know the kingdom, to understand the kingdom, and to respond to it. People are not responding to the kingdom of God because they're not really clearly understanding it, or they're not really clearly recognizing it. He said, unto what is the kingdom of God like? What is it actually like? How can I identify it? How can I recognize it? What is the actual kingdom of God like, and how can it be known here in the earth? How can it be known in your lives? How will you recognize it? What will it resemble? The word resemble there is homoio. The word hamanoo is what it means to be, is the word resemble. What that actually means is, what is the kingdom of God to be compared to? What is the kingdom of God to be made like? What is the kingdom of God to be assimilated into? How can I recognize it? How can I identify what it is like, how similar it is, and what does it actually mean? What is its actual resemblance, and how does that correspond to anything that I understand and recognize? This is important because Jesus is letting them know in this statement here that the kingdom of God must be recognized by everyone. And those people that are responsible for carrying it, the people that he told to go out into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom, those individuals, they are responsible for sharing and identifying what that kingdom actually is. And he said it again in the 20th verse. He said, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? How is it that I can liken it, or how can I properly represent it, or how can I make it known to you? How clear can I make it known to you? And he gave an example about the grain of mustard seed, which a man shall take and cast into the garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Now, this is very important for us to understand in terms of the kingdom of God, people of God, because he's letting us know that the kingdom of God is, it starts out as a little bitty small thing, but then it grows once it is planted. Once it grows and plants, he says the fowls of the air will be able to actually come and rest in the branches of it. What he's saying to us is that when you, or each one of us, every believer, begins to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God, that gospel, when it is declared, when it is spread out there, it will grow and mature and begin to manifest to the point where the fowls of the air, which represent the thoughts of men, when we as the people of God or as the believers of God begin to share the gospel of the kingdom, it will captivate people's minds. It will captivate their minds. The problem with that is that when you're not spreading the gospel of the kingdom, when you're spreading religion, people want to get their minds away from that. They don't want to have anything to do with religion per se, except unless they're already tied up and wrapped up into it. But our responsibility is to bring people into the kingdom, not to bring them into religion, because they don't want to have anything to do with the misrepresentation of religion by people that are corrupt and didn't honor it in the first place. So in declaring spreading the gospel of the kingdom, it gives a position in this world for people to put their minds there, for people to rest their thoughts there. When you can actually rest your thoughts in the strength of the kingdom, it will uphold you. What religion does, religion binds you, but the kingdom of God actually frees you. And when you can there find rest, kingdom, you're not going to find rest in religion. You're not going to find rest in the world. You're not going to find rest in these things because they crumble and they will be no more. But the kingdom of God, when it is established and it is declared, people will be able to rest their minds there. You'll find peace in the kingdom of God. You'll find comfort there in the kingdom of God. And I'm talking about in his royal power, in his royal government, in his royal deliverance. Remember, Jesus came in Luke 4 and he said, the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach this gospel, to set the captive free. Now he's telling us what the gospel of the kingdom actually does. The kingdom sets the captive free. He said he has sent me to heal the broken heart. The kingdom of God will heal those people that are broken in their hearts. He said he has sent me to remove or to relieve the oppressed. The kingdom of God will remove or relieve those people that are under great pressure and oppression in this day and in this time. The kingdom of God will do that. It will set the minds free from the prison that the minds are in. He said, you know, I'll open the eyes of the blind. What he was saying is that I'll open the minds of those people that have been in darkness and cannot see the light. This is what the kingdom of God does. It is a great, powerful, mighty work. He sent the disciples out and said, go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom, and everywhere you see sickness, heal those that are sick. Set the captive free. Bring deliverance. He said, cast out demons and cast out devils. Don't let Satan or satanic influences pervade in your life and rule your life and control what's going on in your life. He has given us power to set those people that have been held captive by the enemy at his will, to set them free. Trying to tell them about our religious concerns is not going to do it. But when you explain to them about the kingdom of God and who they are in the kingdom, as the kingdom of God is open and made available to them, that's what's going to really free them from the bondage that the enemy has on them. And this is why the enemy wants to stop people from declaring and proclaiming the kingdom of God, because he does not want them to actually be set free. And this is so powerful, people of God, for every believer to understand that you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to the kingdom. You have a responsibility to share that truth and to say the same thing. To say the same thing. The kingdom of God is to be declared by everyone. It represents the actual purpose, realm, and authority of God in the earth. Now, if the authority of God is here, it must be declared by those people that represent it. If the kingdom of God is here in the earth, it must be declared and reflected by those people that carry it inside of them. Well, how in the world is that going to take place? It is done through the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that makes manifest the kingdom of God and the work of that kingdom inside of every believer. But if the people that are believing do not understand that their responsibility is to declare the royal reign, the royal dignity, the royal kingship, and the royal authority and power of God in the earth, they will not do it. They'll tell people about their church experience, but they won't tell them about their kingdom experience. They'll tell them about how good the choir sang, but they won't tell them how the power of the Holy Ghost moved and changed people's lives, how the drug dealer was set free, how the sick person was healed, how people's eyes actually came open. They won't tell people about the power of God being demonstrated that goes beyond the natural ability of men. When you're talking about the royal power and authority of God, it goes beyond people's natural ability. It goes beyond the ability of drugs to bind you. It'll free you from that bondage. Religion can't do that. They'll send you to AA or Drugs Anonymous, Alcoholic Anonymous. They'll send you to the AAA, the quadruple A's. They can have 26 letter A's, and it will not set you free from the things that the world has bound you to. Only God will do that. As a matter of fact, when you go to the AAA and to the different anonymous, they have all kind of drug anonymous, sex anonymous, alcohol anonymous, gambling anonymous, sin anonymous. Just say it's the sin anonymous. Just call it the sin anonymous because that's what they're addicted to. They're addicted to sins. But once that thing has captivated a person, religion won't set you free from that. It requires the power of God to go beyond the natural bondage and the natural challenges of this world to do that. What happens to everyone, all of us, and this is clear for us to understand in St. John, the third chapter, and I'm about to be done. In St. John, the third chapter, it's a very familiar passage, and I'm sure we're all familiar with it. St. John, the third chapter, and I believe it's the third verse. You know what? I'm just going to start reading at the first verse just to give you the clear understanding. But this is really important for us to understand, people of God, where the kingdom of God is important, how it's relevant, and what has actually happened with Jesus and when he came here to bring us to this attention. In the first verse, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." The Pharisees, that was the religious order of that day. Those were the religious people, the people that were supposed to be representing God, the people that were supposed to be representing God here in the earth. They were representing, they were in the position to connect people to God. That was supposed to be their responsibility, but they had no clue how to perform it because they didn't know God themselves. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." So he was of the highest order of this religious construct. It says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi," he snuck around to talk to Jesus because he wanted to know, how is it that you're able to do these things that you're doing? He didn't want anybody in his religious circles to know that he was really interested in the power of God and how it actually works and how is it that Jesus can embody something like this. And he said, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Identifying right there that we're the rulers in the synagogues, the religious rulers, but we don't have any kind of power to actually perform or to help people in the way that you are doing. We don't have power to cast out demons and devils. And as a matter of fact, I've got some with me right now. We don't have the power to bring healing and deliverance to people in the way that you're doing. We don't have that kind of power. So we know that you are from God doing this. Now, what he is saying right there, without really probably identifying or knowing what he's saying, we know that it is God that is with you, that's enabling you to do this. He's saying right there that we are the religious rulers, but God is not with us. We're here representing God, but God is not with us. We know God is with you because you're doing supernatural miracles. You're doing supernatural things in the earth that us in this religious sect cannot perform. So how are you able to get in touch with God on this level? And he said this to him. And in the third verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus said a mouthful right there. Verily, verily means truly, truly. This is absolutely true. Above all things, this is absolutely, concretely, infallibly true. It cannot be denied. This is the actual truth that you accept a man be born again. Now, I want to help you with this real quickly so that everyone will identify what Jesus was presenting to Nicodemus in telling him this. He said, Nicodemus, except a man be, the word born there means a man that is fathered, a man that has been fathered, a man that has been, that fathers children, or someone that fathers children, or a man that has been born of a father, a man that has been begotten, a man that has been produced or begotten or engendered or brought forth from a father. And then he said, except a man be begotten again. The word again there is the word that's so significant here, because what he was explaining to him, the word again is anothen. The word anothen, that's the word again. It's not the same kind of again that we would notice or recognize. It's the word anothen that he was saying to him, except a man be born. That word anothen actually means from above. He was saying to Nicodemus, except a man be born from above. Except a man be born from above, it means from above or from a higher place. It means from above, from a higher place, from the first place, or all over again, anew, as it was at the first. That's what again, or anothen, actually means. So he was telling Nicodemus, except a man is begotten from the very first place in which he was originated, except a man be begotten from above, he cannot see. The word see means he cannot know or understand or recognize or perceive the kingdom of God. This is why you're unable to function with this supernatural power, because you don't get it. You don't understand it. That's why you're here questioning me, because you want to know what is really going on. And Jesus is letting them know, except a man come from, be begotten from above, identifying that the kingdom of God is the original place that you were actually born from. That's the original place, or the place of origin where you came from. And except a man comes from that place, is born from that place, unless he comes from there or is begotten from there by the Father or the kingdom. So how can people deny the importance and relevance of the kingdom of God when that is the place of your origin, or the place that you actually have come from? Except a man be born from above, from the place of that kingdom, he will not recognize the kingdom. He won't recognize it, and he won't be able to understand exactly what's taking place or what's going on. And he said unto him, and Nicodemus said unto him, are you saying, how can a man be born? I'm sorry, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Thinking, and this is how people think. This is the way the world thinks. This is the way a lot of people think, that their origin of birth is from their mother's womb. That is not your original origin of birth. That is the place where your physical body is formed. It is not the place where you yourself came from. It is the place where your body was formed. You were entered into that body that was formed there in your mother's womb, and that is who you are. So Nicodemus didn't understand that. He couldn't see it that way, but Jesus was bringing something very important to him that everybody needs to understand and be clear on. Except a man be born from above, he cannot recognize he cannot do or see or understand the things of the kingdom. He must have that renewed, because it means to actually be born anew. To be born anew from above, or to be brought into remembrance of his origin or original place of birth. And he's saying now, if I'm coming from my mother's womb, I got to go back in there. He said, no, the place where I'm talking about, your origin or your place. He's talking about Nicodemus now. He's talking about Nicodemus, that this is his origin or his place of birth. Now, Nicodemus didn't know very much about God himself. He just knew the law in which it was, the things of their religious order was declared. So he made Nicodemus to recognize this. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, again, very rarely I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now he clarified to Nicodemus what Nicodemus was missing. Nicodemus only saw one part of it, and the part of it he saw and understood is that our birthplace originates in the womb of our mother. But Jesus was explaining to him, no, that is not your original birthplace. That is the place of your second birth. The original birth that you have came from the Spirit. Came from the Spirit. That is the original birthplace. You are born of the Spirit, from the kingdom of God, from that particular place. That is where you are originally created and formed. Then you are formed from the water. A lot of people think that that's the baptismal pool water. That's what they have gathered from that. But they missed the whole thing, because what Jesus was speaking about was you have to be born of this human or of a woman. You have to be born of a woman and of the Spirit in order to qualify to be a representative of the kingdom, eliminating all other animals. Eliminating all other animals and all other forms of creation that came out of the earth. Everything came from water. The earth and everything came out of water. But those that came out of water and from the Spirit, those individuals are the sons of God. Those are the ones that were created in his image and in his likeness. And those are the ones, that have the rights of the kingdom of God and will recognize it when you come into the realization of that understanding. And what Jesus was making clear to Nicodemus, and he actually checked him. He said, he told him further, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he said, marvel not, you must be born from above. You must be born from above. And he went on to give him more clarification on that. And he even checked him and said, you're supposed to be a Pharisee and you don't know any of this. Letting them know, and I'm saying this to everyone, it is important for us to understand where our original birthplace is. We are, our first origin or our first nature is a divine nature. Our second nature is an earthly nature. Our first nature is we were born from above. Our second nature is that we came through the womb of a woman in order to present the will and power of God and his representation here in the earth. That is important for everybody to know, and how important it is for us to understand that the kingdom is what we are here to represent and what we are here to declare. And we never have enough time to share all of this. There's much more I wanted to share with you concerning the kingdom and concerning the religious interference of what God is trying to do in the earth. And it's important that we understand that we have to separate our lives from every believer. I'm speaking about every believer. We have to separate our lives from the aspect and the bindings of religion and denominations. We have to separate ourselves from that, because people will look at us as if we are Catholic, Methodist, this, that, and the other, or Muslim, or Buddha, and all this. All that's religion. And they say, since it's religion, I have the right to choose which particular religion I want to be in. But that's not the case, and that's not the message for the believers. That's not our message. Our message is that we are from above, and we are here in the earth. We were created and born in the kingdom of God. We have come from that kingdom to represent that kingdom in the earth. And Jesus told him, he said, you are not from this world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. And I am not of this world, and this is why our speech and our conversation is not clearly recognized, because people can't hear it unless they are open to the place of their origin or divine nature or original birthplace. And then we can understand the language of that place, which is the message of the kingdom of God. We thank and praise God for this time. We're going to have to stop right now. And I'm going to give it over to Apostle Gwen to let her continue on from this point. But we're just so excited about sharing this word of truth and declaring the kingdom of God and how necessary it is for every believer to know who they really are and what their true responsibility is. Apostle Gwen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Apostle Ron. That was an awesome revelation of the word of God. We are just standing in agreement that the word has reached your heart,
yes.
That the word has reached your inner man, and your baby is leaping because of the new thing that God is doing. He is revealing his secrets. The man of God came to Jesus secretly to find out, how do you operate in the supernatural the way that you operate in the supernatural? How? What is this kingdom that you're preaching? How can I function in the kingdom? How can I operate in the supernatural? How can I work miracles, signs, and wonders like you work in the kingdom? I know it's God. I know it's God. He said, the reason I know it's God is because I know that what you do, the miracles prove that it's God. People of God, there's about to be a supernatural release of miracles, and they are going to know that you have been with God. The world is going to know that you are with God. The world is going to know, amen, that you have been in the presence of God. They're going to know where you came from. They're going to know that you were born in the heavens. Our first place of origin is a heavenly place. We are here to represent the kingdom of God. That is our main function in life, to represent the kingdom of God in the earth, to let people know where we came from. We came from a supernatural place. That's why we have supernatural ability. Praise God. That's why we're able to pray and the sick are healed. We're able to pray and those that are bound, they are delivered. Amen. The blind eyes are open. Amen. We're able to call fire from heaven and it can jump in the belly of the sinner and change his whole world around. We're able to do miracles, signs, and wonders because we're born from another place. This world is not my home. This is not my home. I come from a holy place. Amen. People of God, I want you to know that we're about to wrap up. And if there's anyone that's listening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're ready to tap into the supernatural, I want you to repeat after me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and I am born again. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and now I am born again. Amen, amen. And I want you to know that down on the inside of you, there is a king that is about to be activated, that is about to be activated, and God is going to use you greatly. You have just tapped into your destiny. Amen. Thank you so much for calling, and we're going to ask for everyone to please stay online. Do not hang up, because if you hang up, you will be disconnected. We want you to stay online. We're going to take remarks. They're going to keep the lines open so that we can have remarks. In approximately 9 seconds, you will be able to share with us. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what the Lord has done for you as you listen, as you have listened in on tonight. Amen. Thank you so much again for calling in. We give God praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Thank God. Is there anyone online tonight that would like to have words, that would like to share anything? Anyone? Amen. Anyone? Amen. Anyone? Is there anyone online before we hang up? Praise God. I don't hear anyone. Well, I just want to thank you. Maybe you're shy. Maybe you don't want to say anything. It's okay. It's okay. We thank God, and we just pray that you have received something from the Lord. We're going to close out now. We will not be able to come back online, so we won't be able to hear you if you wanted to say anything. Amen. We're going to have to close out now. But we thank God for all of those who have called in, and we pray that the word of God has fell on good ground, the good and fertile ground of your heart, and it shall bring forth much fruit because we are in a fruitful season. People of God, be blessed, and be a blessed blessing. Amen. God bless.
God bless everyone.